The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. The UFC is back. International soccer is back. NASCAR is back. Golf is back. And the casino is open 24/7. Use the promo code SGP for up to $1,000 in a deposit bonus. That's MyBookie.ag. Promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Cushy Dreams. Cushy Dreams is a new company with a full line of premium smokable CBD, now shipping legally to all 50 states. And if you use the promo code SGP, you get 15% off. That's KUSHYDreams.com, promo code SGP. Welcome, everyone, to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with a debut podcast here. I'm joined by my two long-term Eagles fans and friends. Going to intro the guys, and we're just here to basically talk Eagles, talk shit on the rest of the NFC East, and give out some picks. Up first, Justin. Justin, what's happening, man?
Oh, nothing much. Just born in Eastern PA. Been a lifelong Eagles fan.
Give people a little background about you.
You know, living out in Hawaii now, so just keeping up with the Eagles.
Walk people through the game day experience out in Hawaii, because I've had to, since I moved out to Los Angeles a while ago, you got to wake up early for the 10 a.m. games. You got to start drinking at a very early hour. What's it like doing that in Hawaii?
So honestly, my routine early in the season, cause at 7 a.m. kickoff, wake up around 5:45 ish, hop in the shower, get ready. My wife thinks I'm insane because, hop in the car and, probably by like 6:30 ish to, get down to, Waikiki usually, is where my spot is. And then, drink and watch the games, from 7 a.m. on, especially if it's an early Eagles game. And can't watch it at home for some reason, which is typical out here.
Yeah. And do you, what do you start drinking when you get there at 7 a.m.? Do you go with like a breakfast drink or do you just go right to beer?
Start with at least one, probably two Bloody Marys. Then try to order the food so that it comes by halftime. Then I can worry about that and either complain if we're losing or be really happy while I'm eating at halftime. And then after that, usually move on to beer, I would say, but I try to limit it, make sure that I can drive by the end of it, you know.
That's always the ultimate goal. All right, joining us as well, Robbie, what's happening, man?
Hey, how are you? Good to be on. As Sean said, my name's Rob. I guess I'm the only one left here in Pennsylvania, in Die Hard Nation here. That's right. Yep.
Is this your first podcast appearance, Rob?
This is, yeah, newbie.
I know you do occasionally call into the local Eagles Sports Talk Radio. Give us some of what has moved you to actually call in.
I've called a couple times. I've called about the Eagles and the Sixers, depending. Often when my wife's in the car and she thinks I'm nuts sometimes. but I did call recently, 97.5 the mornings, to express my concern about some of our offensive tendencies last year, how we were getting away from the play action that I think Carson really flourishes in. So I did express that sentiment. There was a little skepticism met with that, but I thought it was a solid point.
I remember my dad, it was a vivid memory of my childhood. My dad I think we may have still been living. No, I think it was like just when we moved to Pennsylvania and or moved back to the area. And my dad called a local sports talk radio, and it was, I think it was the night before one of the big like early like 90s Eagles playoff games. It may have been the game where they destroyed the Lions, Rodney Peet. I think it was the night before that. And they were calling in with like, hey, different movie recommendations you would suggest to play for the team before the big game. And my dad called in and said he would play the Super Bowl from 1980 where they lost to the Raiders. And then the guy just tore into him. He's like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Why would you do that? And he hung up on my dad. It was a very weird feeling to have your dad, like a national talk radio guy, hang up on your dad. And my dad just like super sad after he gets hung up on. He's like, fuck that guy. Now, I think it's fun to start off with some fan stuff. Most obviously, the biggest Eagles win of all time was Super Bowl 52. But Justin, of other big Eagles wins, or maybe it's not an Eagles win, it was just a random Eagles win that you particularly remember really going nuts for, what jumps out in your memory as far as like favorite Eagles fan moments?
Thinking about it, I think I have to go with Miracle at the Meadowlands. It's probably a typical one for a lot of people, but mainly because I just like that team so much. No more McNabb, right? You had Vic there.
So excited.
Deshaun, you had McCoy, right? And good old Andy, who I feel like is still an Eagle. And it was for pretty much the division right there. So just a huge comeback. And then that punt return by Deshaun is just legendary. And I'm happy to actually have him back on the team. I know it's a little, get back there. I know.
A little bittersweet. Yeah. Just to jump off that point, that win was so awesome. But I, in a weird way, it kind of was the beginning of the end of Andy Reid and especially the Vic era, because if you remember, that next game was against the Vikings. I ended up going to that game, and it was supposed to be played on Sunday. Some reason they canceled the game just because there was a little bit of snow. Like, they were worried about this massive blizzard. They moved the game to a Tuesday, and we were 14-point favorites. I vividly remember betting on the game in the parking lot with my Uncle Danny, and then we lose outright to Joe fucking Webb. And it was just – and then they lost – I think they – I forget what happened. They may have lost another game, and then they ended up being 10-6 and having to play at home. They didn't get the first round bye, and then they had that game at home against Green Bay, which was kind of back and forth. Vic threw that interception in the end zone to end it. But it was such an awesome win. But in a weird way, I think it kind of hurt the team overall, because like that almost felt like that team's Super Bowl. Robbie, what about
Sean? Thanks for shooting my
No, it's a great win. Down. It's a great win. I'm just saying everyone forgets like it started this kind of bad run after that. Like, I'm worried they lose all their mojo in that one game. Rob, what about you? What's a big Eagles win that always sticks with you?
Yeah, great question. I was thinking about this earlier, and you know, Miracle Meadowlands was cool. I'm sure Justin just Googled that and quick pulled it up. easy answer. But no, I think one of my favorite moments actually was the 2005 NFC Championship game against the Falcons right before we went to the Super Bowl, which unfortunately we lost. And that was actually one of my favorites because I was there. So funny story, you know, I don't even know how old I was back then, but past high school, I might have graduated college or last year of college. And myself and some other people actually worked at the link for that playoff run as, you know, ushers and security and things like that. So we were there at that game. It was freezing, but the atmosphere was electric, and it was an awesome victory. So I think that's one of the favorite moments I've had, in large part because I was there.
Yeah, no, that was a great game, and kind of a great connection there, because we just had Jim Mora Jr. on the Sports Gambling Podcast, and I, of course, asked him about – that was the farthest he had ever gone as a head coach, and I asked him about that game, and he said that game in particular, he's never watched it to this day. It was too painful. And as an Eagles fan, that made me great to hear that the Falcons – coach, you know, is still haunted by that loss. And that Brian Dawkins hit at Aljay Crumpler, just destroying him. And there was a ton of fun plays. I think Dawkins had an interception as well. For me, the game that really stands out for me is, you know, besides the Super Bowl, is the Eagles 44-6 against the Cowboys that last Sunday night of the 2008 season to get them in. The 2008 season was wild. Like, McNabb got benched. They looked horrible. They had that tied game. And then going into that last Sunday, they needed, I think, two other teams to lose, and they had to beat the Cowboys. And it was almost like the scenario of the Silver Linings Playbook. Like, they needed a lot of things to happen. And one of the teams they needed to win were the Raiders, who were horrible. They pulled out the victory. And then we realized, oh, my God, we're going into this Sunday night game. And it was also the it was right around Christmas, and my dad had just gotten a deep fryer for Christmas. So my dad's breaking in the deep fryer on the same night of Sunday Night Football, and we just destroyed Tony Romo. And, I mean, it was just so great. It got us into the playoffs. Then we went on that little bit of run. And, yeah, I mean, it was just awesome. So, yeah, that one, the 44-6 just stands out because it was just such an ass-kicking, and it was the Cowboys, and it was just – You couldn't draw up a better game, and Dawkins was going off, and I don't know. It was fun. But kind of on the flip side, what's the most pissed off you've been recently, Contandy or Justin? Does anything jump out as far as a game where you really lost it, like recently?
Yeah, recently, I mean, I was immediately you think of Chip Kelly, even though it's not so recent. But
no, I mean, it could be Chip.
I pushed Chip aside. I had to look past him. Most recently, I would say Kamu's recovery against Dallas to open the game, where he talked a little bit smack before it. The fumble, yeah. And they called it a non-recovery. Oh, I was so livid. I just remember how angry I was. Almost makes you want to stop watching football when they give Dallas those breaks like that. That was a pretty angry moment for me. I know also, I remember, and I don't know why this still sticks out in my head, but when we had that game locked up against the Lions and Ryan Matthews fumbled the football with like under 3 minutes left. I think it was like we were up by, I think, two or three at the time. I couldn't remember. We had it all locked up. And
that was Carson's rookie year. They were 3-0. Yeah. That was Carson's first loss. Yeah, that was brutal. I mean, he still played pretty well that game. What about you, Rob? Any recent games jump out as getting you fired up?
Yeah, I was thinking about this too. My wife says every time they lose, I'm pissed off. But I think it was last year, the first Dallas game, which obviously, you know, both Justin and I went to. Some of us, Sean, had other priorities going to a wedding instead of the game. But, man, we, you know, all pumped for the game, go down to Dallas, have good seats. You know, Monday or Sunday night game, prime time, and, you know, the team just laid an egg. Totally was terrible, getting heckled by Dallas fans. I was just so pissed off and demoralized. So I think that was the worst for me in recent.
Can I interject, Rob? And you're almost got in two fights while we were there. I remember that.
Nice. I didn't hear this. Who did you get into it, Rob?
One guy in front of us just turned around and said some shit to Rob, and then he gave like the cutthroat symbol, I believe, and Rob said something like, "Sit the fuck down." And the guy like told Rob to calm down then. And then Rob goes
to he apologized.
I think Rob goes to the restroom at one point and then comes back all pissed off. He went alone, and I'm like just wondering why he's all angry. And then all of a sudden I look to the left, and Rob's looking down to the left. So I look to the left, and there's a guy who's like starting to yell at Rob, and Rob's starting to yell at him. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And I guess they had gotten into some type of verbal altercation while he was at the restroom, and it continued on later.
In my defense, I didn't back down. True Eagle spirit.
You gotta represent.
Jersey. I rocked the Wentz jersey the whole game. I wasn't afraid in their stadium. But unfortunately, the score didn't work out that day. But we did get him back later in the season.
Yeah, that was a great signature win in the Carson Wentz era. For me,
I took, Well, sorry. I just want to just remind everybody once again that you couldn't go due to Peter's wedding.
Okay. My brother.
Justin, don't worry. I already covered that when you stepped away for a second. That was my first point.
I heard.
Yeah, my brother was getting married, and so I was in the Philadelphia area and couldn't go to the game. Down a big D. For me, the worst game, I mean, I've seen a couple real clunkers, but the one that always stands out as super painful to me is 2007. I went to the Meadowlands game with my co-host Kramer, and, you know, huge Giants fan. We're in Giants Stadium, and it's the game where McNabb gets sacked like 12 times or whatever it is, where they set the sack record. And the worst part was they were like kind of in the game, but he was just getting sacked after sack after sack. It was brutal. And then, this is like having no money, and we're leaving the stadium, and then just like a pack of Giants fans surround me, and they're just like yelling at me, and I really have nothing to come back with. I just keep telling them to fuck off, and like I had nothing to say. They're like, "You suck, the McNabb sucks," and I'm like, "I agree. I don't know what else to add. It was horrible." And then we were taking a direct flight from JFK to Burbank, but we didn't like get a hotel. So we just stayed over at the JFK airport and like slept at the airport. It was horrific. I think there was like some chemicals on the floor, and I don't know, I've never been the same. So yeah, I really, that was a horrific, horrific game. But all right, let's, 2020, new year, pretty optimistic. We're going to go over some, give out some roster grades. It's always fun to do that, kind of set the table for the season. But before we do, shout out to the presenting sponsor of the Sports Gambling Podcast and Podcast Network, mybookie.ag. Of course, you can play, win, and get paid. Use that promo code SGP for up to $1,000 deposit bonus. They got the casino going. I know I've been cranking away at some blackjack, made a nice little run there. And literally anything you want to bet on, they got that going. NFL Week 1 lines are already up. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Some player prop stuff starting to come in, odds to win the Super Bowl. Anything you want to bet on, you can over at mybookie.ag. And, of course, The Sims. We're going to be doing more Madden Sim games, maybe even a little college football. Stay tuned for that. And, of course, those you can only bet over at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code SGP. Okay, broke the Eagles team down in down a little position group here. Rob, let's talk O-line. What are you giving the Eagles going into 2020 right now? What would you give their roster currently?
Yeah, I think I give the O-line. I think it's a strength of the team. I give it an A-. I know, you know, you're losing Jason Peters, who's been a steadfast and really a rock on that left side for years. But I think Dillard has potential if he can just work on the bull rush and a little bit bulk up. I think the rest of the line, Brooks, assuming he's back healthy, is an absolute stud. Lane's a stud. Kelsey's a stud. And I think you got Samalu is solid as well. So, I give it an A-. It easily probably could have been an A, but I think Dillard has to prove himself a little bit. Maybe they still bring Peters back. I don't know. But I think it's a strength of the team, in my opinion.
Justin, what do you got?
Kind of in the same vein as Rob, I said B+. Just a little bit of a question mark about Dillard. He's still getting better. Samalu, he's solid. Lane's 30 now, so is Brooks, and then Kelsey's 32. So you kind of start to question the age a little bit. Lane has, he's missed a couple of games here and there throughout the last couple of seasons. So just wonder how well they can hold it together with them getting a little bit older. Their chemistry is there, though, for the most part, so I'm not overly concerned. Just didn't feel 100% comfortable giving it an A. So,
yeah, I'm also in the B+ region. I think you guys brought up good points about Dillard at the left tackle there. It'll be interesting to see if they ever get anything out of Maiolata. That guy they drafted, seventh round rugby player, just kind of a freak athlete. It seems like they've just been stashing him on IR, waiting for him to kind of figure out how to play football. I think he could be a sneaky candidate for their swing tackle position. And of course, their offensive line head coach, Stoutland, he's one of the highest paid offensive line coaches in the league. and always seems to get a ton out of these guys. Kelce, super smart. Yeah, the Brooks coming off injury again. I know he came back from that Achilles, but at some point maybe that catches up to him a little bit. But they should be in good shape, and we'll see with Dillard. It seems like Jason Peters is basically going to retire unless they think Andre Dillard sucks early. Like, Andre Dillard, it feels like, is on a very short leash with the Eagles. And if things go sideways a little bit, I don't think they're going to hesitate to just call up Jason Peters and move on. Moving over to the running backs, Justin, what are you grading the running backs this year?
I know we all love Miles Sanders, but I gave him a solid B just because it lacks real depth, in my opinion. I know Scott was great last year for us coming in. Clement has been great in the past. I don't know how healthy he's going to be and if he still has that spark that he had, you know, during our Super Bowl run. So with Sanders being in there, he can't be in there every play. So I just wonder how the depth's going to work out. That's why I gave it a B. But I definitely see Sanders as a potential, hopefully, offensive player of the year candidate. But we'll see.
Robbie, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, this was a tough one to grade because I think it's polar opposites. You know, I guess if you pin me down, I give it a C-plus overall. But,
wow,
you know, in my mind, I see this as really an A-minus in the starter, Miles Sanders. I think he has tremendous potential, Penn Stater, which I love. And I think they just really started to scratch the surface last year with his versatility. You know, I don't think he'll ever be the guy that leads the league in rushing, because I don't think that's our offense, but I think he could be a guy that's really right up there in all purpose yards between, you know, screens, catches, and running. So, you know, strictly for him, I think he could give him, you know, an A minus, maybe just cause he has some to prove, but he really showed he could be that, elusive back. And then, you know, really for the rest of them, I think C minus. I think there's a depth issue. You know, I know Clement re-signed, but, you know, there's no one that's lighting fires there. Although, you know, Clement, I will say, had a tremendous Super Bowl, so got to give him some credit there. But I think there's a big gap there for us. So if Miles would go down or something like that, I think we're in trouble. Hopefully, knock on wood, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'll go A minus. I'm huge on Miles Sanders this year. I know you guys are as well. I think he's going to be like a top five fantasy guy, especially if you're playing full point PPR. Like, Miles Sanders is just going to go off. And it's interesting the pass catching aspect of his game, which really wasn't there at Penn State at all. And I forget who had mentioned this on a podcast I was listening to. Like, Miles Sanders may actually be – normally you don't want to extend a running back or give him that second contract or give him a lot of money, but Miles Sanders is interesting in that he's really – he really doesn't have a lot of, you know, kind of wear on his tread. Like, he's – if you look at the number of carries he had at Penn State since he was behind Saquon for the majority of the year, or, you know, a big part of it, the time he was at Penn State, he didn't get a ton of carries. He isn't really – you look at Derrick Henry, he got a shit ton of carries at Alabama, but – I think Miles Sanders only had like maybe 260 in his career at Penn State compared to, like, you know, Derrick Henry might get that in one of his 4 years. So a lot of room left on him. I'm high on Boston Scott. Again, small sample size. We'll see what happens there. Does feel like they'll probably get maybe sign another veteran running back. I'm not really stoked about LeSean McCoy joining the team again. I would just kind of punt. I would go, if you really need to add another guy, I would go like Wendell Smallwood or Josh Adams, someone random there. I don't think LeSean is going to be a great fit in the locker room and whatever they got going on. I mean, I love him, all-time Eagle, but I think we got to stay away. Receivers. Robbie, what are you doing? What are you grading at receivers?
Oh, man, this is another one. I mean, this is a group that I think, again, obviously we spent a lot in the draft. We you know, got Rager, who I'm high on. I, you know, the more I look at him, the more I like his skill set. I think it was smart. We need a speed guy out there. You know, and I like everything I've seen from him so far in terms of his attitude and willingness to work. So, you know, I'm high on him. And I like some of the other guys that we drafted that are just pure speed guys. Obviously, speed was a huge, huge emphasis in this year's draft for the team. Whether any of those other guys pan out remains to be seen, but I like the potential of speed. You know, you can't you can't teach speed, and if guy's faster than you, it's tough to cover him. So, you know, I'm really excited of the idea of Rager on one side and Deshaun on the other side. If he can come back healthy, I think, you know, if you're a defense, how do you cover that? You know, especially with the idea of our two tight ends in the middle, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. So, you know, I'd say I'd give it a B at this point, really, because there's just, you know, unknowns. I love the potential of it. You know, Deshaun's proven himself, but the rest of the guys really just, they got to step up and prove themselves. And obviously it's been a weakness in the past. I don't think Jeffrey's going to be a factor if he's even on the roster.
I think it's
these young guys got to step up and prove themselves.
Well, and who was it? Jacina Anderson is no longer with ESPN, and everyone made the same joke that I did in our group text that Alshon Jeffrey was the guy who broke that story. I mean, we got to get rid of this guy. The guy's a freaking rat. I mean, I'm worried that they end up keeping him. I think what will happen is they'll probably put him on the PUP for like 6 weeks while he's like figuring out the injury thing, but man, it's just too much guaranteed money to get nothing for him. I think they're going to be stubborn and hang on to him. Pintani, what would you grade this receiver unit right now?
I ended up giving the receiver unit a C overall. I know we got 14 receivers right now on the list. but we really don't have anything to go off of at the moment. Anybody who's done anything is pretty injury prone at this point. I went on, what is it? Sports Injury Predictor, and Deshaun has like a 53% chance of being injured. Goodwin has a 59% chance of being injured, and then Jeffrey's at 48%. So those guys are the only guys who have really proven anything, and unfortunately it's like a 50-50 chance if they'll make it through the season. I do like Rager. I think he has such a high ceiling. It'd be great to see what he can do, but at the same time, he hasn't been in the NFL yet, so I just kind of want to see where he's at. And you guys remember, I had such high hopes for Whiteside. So,
Justin does own a Whiteside jersey.
Oh, I bought in. I bought our
Sega Whiteside. Now, wait, Justin, was that an actual real jersey, or was that your mother-in-law made you that one, or was that from China? I know you've got some knockoff jerseys.
No, this one was a legit jersey. This one was
wow. Good. That's how committed you are.
Yeah, you went all in on Whiteside.
Rob over here. Rob was the guy behind Nelson Aguilar, and really, 2017, you had your run there. I think we almost talked you into buying a Nelly jersey. You didn't. Yeah. Maybe that's why he hasn't returned to the 2017 form, Rob.
Man, I had his back for a while, and he, you know, in 2017 really made me look smart. And then last year, obviously, we know it didn't work out so well. So.
Well, and quick Nelly memory, because it's just coming to mind. Justin and I went up. I'm pretty sure it was Carson's rookie year. Where they went and played in Seattle, and Justin lived there for a while, but flew in from Hawaii. I flew up from LA, got tickets to the game, went to that Seattle stadium, which is really nice. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's a great place to watch a game. And man, there was a couple moments where we were really in that game and we're like, oh my God, we're going to beat Seattle. They're driving. And then of course, Nelly, now I vividly remember it. So they're driving, and then these Seattle Seahawks fans were like talking shit. And I think they do a tight end screen. It may have been Selleck or Ertz. I forget. Goes off, gets down to like the 2 yard line, and I'm going nuts. I'm like getting in their face. I'm like, got my hat going and going nuts. And then it gets called back from like a Nelly lining up wrong penalty. It was illegal formation. And I think Justin was on the same wavelength. When that happened, we realized we were cooked, because we had momentum. We were driving. I was talking shit to the Seahawks fans, and then just switched on a dime. But as far as did you actually get your grade in, Pintani, or did we get sidetracked?
I did get my C grade in. I just want to say Hightower is somebody I like. Sneaky guy. I think he could be a big threat for us potentially. So I know Rager, the ceiling's high on him, but Hightower, for some reason, I just have a feeling about him. Granted, I had a feeling about Whiteside last season. We'll see how far
that's a bad sign if you just have a feeling.
Sorry, Hightower.
I like a lot of people have given the Eagles shit for kind of their draft and their overall strategy at receiver of like just throwing a lot of darts and hoping something sticks. Yeah. But I'm fine with it. Like, we desperately needed speed. We have possession receivers essentially with the tight ends. Like, just go all in and try and draft speed. Or, I mean, Goodwin they brought in, he's really fast. That being said, I'm going to give them a C plus right now, just on the idea that I want that they got to prove something. They really do. Mm-hmm. So a C plus. I don't want to give them an A or a B right now. Get them cocky. They don't need that. But C plus. But I'm optimistic that there's a chance one of these speed guys is going to hit. And it really, one of the most frustrating things about the 2019 season, of course, was that game in Washington where the second half, Wentz just hits DeSean Jackson for two deep balls and just brings them right back into that game. And you're like, God damn it. It would have been nice to see this for the entire season. But I don't know. What are you going to do? Speaking of tight ends, I think this should be pretty easy. I'll kick this one off. Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, two of the best tight ends in the league. Easily, I would say, the best tight end combo. And again, I'm always crowbarring Dallas Goedert as a potential top 10 fantasy tight end as well. I'm really making that case because I'm not a homer, but an A plus for the tight ends. Pintandy or Justin, what do you got?
Yeah, I said A plus as well. I mean, it's an easy one. I just, as always, you just wish Ertz could get a little bit more yak, but I would say no matter where you put Ertz in your top tight ends, even if you're an Ertz hater, I think you got to put him top four. He's got to be number four on your list. So there you go.
Rob.
Yeah, nothing to disagree with here. A plus, best duo in the league. Both of them, you know, Ertz, while he, you know, may not break tackles, he's, you know, sure-handed, catches everything. Goddard, mm-hmm. you know, coming into his own. You know, tough to defend, especially if we got some speed on the outside. So A plus, not much to prove there for that group.
Here's a question for you guys before we move on. Does Zach Ertz retire an Eagle? Justin.
I don't think so. Not with, I mean, if you're looking at the contract negotiations right now that are taking place with the Niners, it just looks like Ertz could be trying to do the same thing. Potentially. So, and Howie's just not that type of guy to give out those high numbered contracts. He likes to sign these guys early so he can get them a little bit cheaper, seeing their potential. And I just don't see it.
Yeah. And maybe to that, Rob, not does Zach Ertz retire an Eagle, but do they extend him again do they get rid of him before that?
Smart money probably says no, but I'm going to say yes for a couple reasons. One, I think Zach really loves the city of Philadelphia. I think he's pretty ingrained in there, and I think he will want to stay, even maybe if it's a little bit of discount versus what he could get elsewhere. And I do think, you know, Howie's going to recognize that this is a guy Carson relies on, and if they want Carson to succeed, I think they make an effort to keep him. So while I don't know if he retires an Eagle, that depends how long he plays, I think there'll be one more extension.
Yeah, it does feel like, how do they get rid of Zach Ertz? But then again, if someone comes knocking with a big trade offer, you know, like a playoff team or in a couple of years, and you have Dallas Goedert playing at a high level, how much money, or really it's like when Dallas Goddard's rookie contract is up in a couple of years here, are you really going to be paying two tight ends big money? I think eventually they're going to have to move on, but I wouldn't be surprised if they extend him like 2 years to get him to that number that he wants as far as like per year, and then throw some dummy years on the end that they can kind of move on. So I think he will be here for at least 2 to 3 years, but after that, I'd be surprised if he's still here. Brings us to quarterback. How do you grade this group? And especially if you're including in the group, I'm going to go B+. Clearly a big Carson Wentz fan. There was a dip in the middle of the last season there. He started out really good, kind of fell off. I mean, that Seattle game, he just looked bad. But for the most part, I really, you know, I'm very high on Carson Wentz. What we saw out of him those last four games really felt like he kind of established himself. kind of won back the locker room. And that just goes to the Jalen Hurts draft pick, which I've tried to rationalize. I've tried to move on. It still really pisses me off. I remember I mistimed when the second round was going to start. I was at the beach, and I get into my car, and there's like 120 missed text messages of just everyone losing their mind, my brother just screaming the F-bomb, and I'm like, what the hell? Why would we draft a quarterback? It still doesn't make sense. To me, it's just clearly Howie's trying to be cute. And maybe they get him involved in some other weird packages, but Taysom Hill on steroids, that's not what this team needs. You know, like the Saints can do Taysom Hill on steroids because they have Michael Thomas. Like, let's figure out Michael Thomas, and then we can kind of get to Taysom Hill on steroids. Nate Sudfeld, I'm fine with, you know, he's one of those guys that's like, I was fine with keeping him as a backup. And the Hurts thing pisses me off even more when you see Andy Dalton sign for like $3 million a year or whatever it was, or even Jameis Winston at $1 million a year. Like, those are the guys you kind of bring in. They can win you a few games. You don't pay them a ton of money. The Hurts thing I still can't wrap my head around. So I'll give it a B+, and mostly it's not an A because of Howie's horrific draft in there. But, Rob, where are you at with the QB group?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm probably more of a homer than you here on the Wentz, but I'm giving it an A just because of Carson. I'm a big believer.
Yeah, you're
Carson.
Right. I'm going to give it an A. I don't want Carson to hear this podcast. And I did take down the Fathead because I expected more out of him. But the Fathead will return one day.
Yeah, so look, I'm a big believer in Carson. Look, he was the MVP of the league in 2017. This team doesn't go to the Super Bowl without the work he did throughout the year. You know, I think there's a couple things that are going to really benefit him this season. I think toward the end of last year, they started to figure it out offensively, his strengths. You know, I know all of us were screaming all year. It really seemed like to me in 2017, they had creative game plans, a lot of play action, rolling Wentz out, which I think are his strengths. And then when Nick came in, he had a different set of strengths in terms of the read option, shotgun, you know, quick throws. And it just felt like once they transitioned from Nick back to Carson, they never quite found their way back to Carson's strengths. And I think they started to do that at the end of the year. And you started to see him flourish. And I think, you know, one thing that shouldn't go unnoticed with respect to the quarterbacks is the offensive staff shakeup that they had this year. You know, firing Mike Rowe was the right move. I think most of us were calling for it.
Rob was writing Jeffrey Lurie personally.
It just wasn't working. And it sounds like they brought in a couple guys that are really creative. And I just think that extra set of eyes now in that room are really going to benefit the game planning that I think did start to get a little stale. So, you know, I think with that, I'm going to give it an A based on Carson. You know, look, if we get to the backup scenario, we're screwed no matter what. I don't think you can judge quarterbacks based on the backup. I didn't like the Hurts pick. I got nothing against, you know, him personally. I'm sure he's a good guy, maybe a good quarterback, but it just wasn't a need of this team. We could have taken a wide receiver like Mims or, you know, a cornerback.
Anyone. I mean, you know,
anyone would have been better. Someone that would have played. So
long-term starter.
I'm going to stick with my A. It's not based on depth. It's based solely on my belief in Wentz.
Like it.
I'm a little bit opposite Rob here as far as QB grade because I went with the overall QBs for the team. I know Wentz is A-plus material, but I just don't have much faith in Sudfeld. If it comes down
Studfeld,
to that,
Justin, Studfeld, Nate Studfeld.
I just can't see him doing what, if you want to go back to what Foles did or even what McCown did for us. And then the Hurts pick, let's not even get into it, but just let's say it comes down to him. Even if he's going to be great, he's probably not going to be great his first season out. He's going to need to learn a lot of crap and time in order to do something productive, in my opinion, if he's going to be a full-time QB or at least step in part-time. So I just gave it an overall of a B simply because I don't have much faith in the backups right now.
Wow. When Carson hears this podcast, Justin, I hope you can live with yourself. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, let's get things going with the defensive line. I'll kick things off. I mean, it's interesting in the offseason. You forget that Malik Jackson is a part of this team. Every once in a while, I look at the depth chart. I'm like, oh, yeah, Malik Jackson. He could have been huge. I love that they brought in Hargrave. Cox, kind of a, you know, ho-hum year last year, not really his best year. Coming off of injury, slow start. But that defensive tackle rotation of Jackson, Hargrave, and Cox, I think really should be top-notch. And really, if there's any issues with the defensive line, I think we're going to be in trouble. They've spent a ton of money on it. I still think they should do whatever it takes to get Yannick and Ngakoue in here. I know it's kind of crazy to pay the D-line that much, but Yannick, I think, is the exception because he's on that next deal, but he's still super young. You know, Derek Barnett's just kind of been okay. He's had some injuries, had some good moments. Brandon Graham, again, like, you know, he makes some huge plays. I mean, he made a huge play in the Super Bowl. Him and Barnett kind of tag teamed that one. And certainly he's had some moments. But again, is he really taking over a game? And the sacks just aren't quite there. The rushing defense is always very solid. So I do think we could still use that Chris Long type, one more third defensive end to rotate in there. I'll give them a B+, though. Rob, what about you? Where are you at with the D-line?
Yeah, I'm going A with them, too. I mean, I think they should be with how much money we have invested. I think Cox is really going to benefit from having two stud, D tackles next to him. Obviously, I think when Malik Jackson went out last year, that affected Cox because it made it that much easier to double Cox. If you have Jackson and Hargraves, I think that's just tough in the middle. Certainly the best D tackle rotation in the league. The ends, I agree with you. They're a step down, but I think, you know, overall they'll be solid. Maybe it shouldn't be an A. Maybe it should be a B+, factoring in the ends. But, you know, I think Barnett still has a lot of potential. I think he needs to rein himself in on the penalties sometimes. He's had a couple boneheaded penalties. You know, Graham, I think, has proven himself. He's not going to be the elite guy in the league, but he's solid. He comes up in big moments, so I think you got to give him credit. And then, you know, maybe Josh Sweat still has some potential too. We'll see. I'm certainly not opposed to, you know, trading and getting another D end. I'm just concerned financially how you make that work, getting another massive contract with that, all the other positions. So it's the D line's definitely a strength of the team, and it's what our defense is built around. So.
Yeah, good point on Josh Sweat, too. He had four sacks, which is pretty solid considering the limited number of reps. Justin, where are you at with the D-line?
I'm pretty much with Rob all around here with the A. Yeah, maybe you could, if you want to be harsh, you could give it a B+. But I mean, we solid players, even down to like Hargrave, who I know those Steelers fans were upset that we ended up picking him up. I mean, with Malik Jackson back, hopefully 100% healthy, ready to go. I think we're going to be in a good spot with the defensive line. I know you want to add a little bit more to it, Sean, but I think we're in a solid place right now. If we can stay healthy, I mean, that's a key component. I don't want to add.
Well, and to your point of wanting that extra pass rusher, to me, that's how we've gotten by with this Jim Schwartz defense when we've had, you know, the cornerback situation up in the air is when we get pressure, it makes their job that much easier. And Schwartz is notorious for not wanting to blitz. Bringing it over to the linebackers right now, I know they're mostly a nickel, but the starting linebackers are Nathan Gary, TJ Edwards, and Duke Riley. Justin, what would you grade those starters and the linebacker unit as a whole?
All right, you know that I think our linebackers suck right now. I give them a D+. I really think that's our biggest weakness right now. Any team that has Nate Gary starting is a team that has problem at the linebacker position. I know he showed potential, and he's had some really good plays for us. At the same time, he just has backup role written all over him. Luckily, TJ Edwards stepped up for us last season. PFF put out some numbers on him recently, and everybody went pretty crazy about him. He's solid for us. He's a solid starter. I mean, hopefully he can keep it up and, and get it going. Sean Bradley, who we just drafted, has a lot of potential. But just that potential. I mean, it's going to be his first season out there. We'll see what he can do. It takes a lot to catch up to NFL speed. Luckily, he's a fast guy. I think he ran a 4.5 in the combine. And he has good coverage ability if he has to get out there. And he can wrap up. So hopefully he can step up to the plate for our guys. But, I mean, that's as good as it gets for us, in my opinion. There you go. D-plus from me.
Rob, are you higher or lower than Justin's D-plus?
Nah, I mean, I'm probably right around there, maybe D-plus. It's certainly probably the biggest weakness of our team right now. And, you know, really it's nothing new for Eagles. We've been plagued at the linebacker position for a long, long time. We've had some good players over the years, obviously, but it's just never been a focus of the team, and it's never been a position that they've invested a lot in. So I think we just have to hope that that D-line's doing its job containing the run game, because once we get to that second level, we're in trouble. I do like some of the draft picks. I think I don't know if they're immediate impact players, but I think they have potential and some speed. Sean Bradley, as Justin said, and I think didn't we take another one, Taylor?
Yeah, Davion Taylor in the third round.
Yeah, I think I liked it. I thought it was a solid pick. I think he was like a 4-5 guy, if I remember right, as well. So I like the potential there, but it's hard to it's hard to grade him anywhere higher than the D level at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll give him a C minus. I'll throw him a bone. They do solid tacklers, but yeah, I mean, it's clear that the Eagles don't put any sort of effort money wise or draft capital. I mean, they did use a third round pick on Davion Taylor, but even him, like if you read anything up about him, like he's a freak athletically, but like didn't play football in high school and like, only played a couple years at Colorado. Like he's very much still a project even as a third round pick. So I'm not expecting a ton. I mean, the last real playmaker we had was Jordan Hicks, and he just always had trouble staying out on the field. It'd be great if we had, and maybe they will sign, depending on how camp goes, just like a veteran, like a Bradham, and maybe they didn't keep Bradham because he was getting old or he was a pain in the ass. There was that weird, thing where he beat the crap out of that the towel boy at the cabana and then got on a plane with a gun. Maybe it was just too much for a linebacker making only $1 million a year, so – I don't know. We'll see what they end up doing. Next up, we got defensive backs, which we could – I mean, very interesting for the Eagles. They brought in Slay. Of course, that was the big signing. Now trying to figure out, does Sidney Jones ever see the field? It seems like Avante Maddox is going to be the other starter right now, depending on – they'll give Sidney a chance to beat him. And then Nickell Roby-Coleman will be the nickel. And then you got McLeod and maybe Mills there at the safety. It's still that's kind of weird because you're losing Malcolm Jenkins, who maybe we aren't even, Eagles fans in general. I think you're definitely going to miss him and his leadership, et cetera. I'm going to go C-plus on the defensive backfield. I do like Slay. Feels like a legit number one cornerback. We'll see. Hopefully that's the case, because otherwise we could be in trouble again. Last year, cornerbacks were a nightmare, and injuries didn't help. So if this group stays healthy, we should be okay. But, I think losing Malcolm Jenkins kind of counterbalances what you're bringing in with Slay. So I got them at like a C+. Rob?
Yeah, I'd say I'd probably put them around a C+. I'm excited about Slay. I'm happy, of the prospect of having a true number one corner. And I'm thrilled to read some of his stats against Amari Cooper too, which is good to hear against Dallas. I think Slay has dominated them when they've played. But that's only one position. I think, the other side's very much up in the air. Sidney Jones seemingly had so much potential, but just seems soft. And can't stay on the field. So certainly a lot to prove there. I like Mills. I just think he's a gamer. I'll give him that. And he's tough, but he's just, he can get outmatched talent wise, I think. And, but he is solid in the red zone. So I'll give him that. One of the things you know, the Jenkins loss was difficult. Obviously, he was a tremendous leader for our team. And, you know, it's tough to keep everyone, so sometimes you have to move on. But, you know, one of the things that could be difficult to fill in with Jenkins is he was just so versatile for us in terms of being a safety, stepping up in the slot, acting as a corner. I mean, he really did almost everything on defense. So that alone is going to be difficult to replace. And, you know, McLeod, I know we kept McLeod, but he's getting older too. So definitely, I would say I lean toward better than last year, even though I think our safeties aren't as good. I think the addition of Slay still makes the secondary better overall, but still a lot of question marks.
Justin.
I'm right with you guys, actually. C plus, you know what you're getting with Slay. You know what you're getting with Mills, even though Mills can be hot and cold at times. But, you know, he's an Eagle through and through. He can make some bonehead plays every now and then, but he's –
he dyed his hair green.
That's McLeod, solid player as well. So those guys are focal points and staples for us there. I still think Jones can step up possibly if he can get his confidence back. Who knows, though? He's not going to be in the rotation regularly now. Maddox could have a solid season. I could see him finally putting it completely together. I feel like he's shown those sparks throughout the last couple of years. Just needs to be consistent. Kayvon Wallace. I mean, he's going to be a big
– good point.
Big wild card for us there. I think he could be – he could be the difference to really put these DBs over the edge.
Well, and, you know, Kayvon Wallace, of course, the fun little nugget is he was roommates with Brian Dawkins' son. And and Brian Dawkins kind of endorsed him on Twitter and was like, give this guy a chance. And also, you know, Brian Dawkins isn't letting his roommate, you know, his son room with any pussy. So that feels good that he's going to be out there making some hits, bringing back some hitting to football. Love it. And maybe we get a little you can't – you know, it'd be blasphemy to say like he's the next Doc, but even if we get a little bit of that, that'd be a nice boost for the defense. Closing things out real quick here, special teams, I'll give him a B. Kicking game, usually pretty solid. The return game just hasn't been there. I feel like we haven't had a guy that can really do something since Sproles in his heyday there a few years ago. Rager maybe gets involved, or even some of those other rookie receivers they bought, or, you know, like Hightower, he can return kicks. So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Hightower return kicks, Rager returns punts, and maybe that speed gives a little burst to the return game. Justin, any thoughts on special teams?
I went with B+ because they're usually solid. And I was looking at the depth chart. They have Rager in for a punt returner, kick returner right now. And I think he could be a difference maker. I'm hoping he could be a difference maker, I should say. So even though he hasn't, you know, returned anything in the NFL yet, I'm putting some faith in him. So I give him overall a B+.
Rob?
Yeah, I'll say B. It's not an exciting unit, but they usually don't give up any terrible mistakes. You know, Jake Elliott is, you know, got a great leg. He's actually more clutch the further away he is for some reason. I'm more nervous when he's closer.
Yeah, it is weird.
So, you know, I'll give it a B. Maybe Rager can put some electricity in it in the return game, but, you know, they're solid.
All right, that'll do it for the roster grades. We're going to talk about the rest of the NFC East, why they suck, and why we're potentially scared of them. But before we do, shout out to Ace Per Head. Of course, Ace Per Head, if you're thinking of starting your own sports book, Ace Per Head is the way to go. All you're going to do is go to aceperhead.com/SGP, aceperhead.com/SGP. Use that link. You can get up to 6 weeks free. It's pretty easy. If you've never started your own sports book, all you do is sign up with them. They get you going. All-inclusive professional betting site. All the lines updated to the second. Wagers graded immediately. They got great customer support. Ace is the place you want to go. And again, use our link for up to 6 weeks free, aceperhead.com/SGP. Now, Rob, when I sent out the idea that we would go around and say why each of the NFC's teams suck, you threw out the idea that possibly we're jinxing ourselves and are we messing with the mojo here? So we've included why they suck and also why potentially we're not scared of them, but potentially maybe they get lucky and they succeed. Justin, start things off. Why did the Redskins suck, and Why are you potentially worried about them?
One reason, why the Redskins sucks, and the only reason that matters, is Dan Snyder. So, moving on. I'm scared of them. I actually like Rivera as an overall coach. I know he's new this season, but, I mean, he's a guy who I feel like could establish a good quality culture there, as long as Snyder doesn't ruin it. And then another huge factor for the Redskins is they just have zero expectations. You know, like
they, nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose at all. It's their first season with Rivera. They've sucked for a long time now. Zero expectations. And then McLaren is a guy who's coming around, and I'm actually a little bit scared of now. So there you go.
Yeah, he torched us. Rob, yeah. Why do the Redskins suck, and why are you potentially maybe worried?
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad we split it up. I was worried about the jinx. I think we can't get too presumptuous here. So, I think the Redskins still have a lot to prove as a team. I think the QB situation is still uncertain for them too. So I still think that's a weakness for them. But I do think I agree with Justin. Actually, I think Rivera is going to bring some stability and some competent coaching to that team, and I think they can only go up. They may not light the world on fire, but I do think they'll steadily improve with him as a coach. So, we'll see where it goes. I still like us against them this year, but I do think they'll be on the path to getting better.
Yeah, I think for me, why the Redskins suck, again, organizationally, Justin nailed it with the owner. They're just a disaster. But, yeah, really, Dwayne Haskins does not scare me at all. Even though he's had a couple moments there in his rookie year. I mean, when he took that selfie in the stands instead of going out to kneel it down in victory formation, that really just was a huge statement to me of like, this guy just kind of has his head up his ass. There was some concern that he was like legitimately had some like dyslexia because they thought, oh, just he doesn't know the playbook at all and what's going on. And then they put out a thing recently that he's just been killing it in these Zoom virtual workouts. He's talking the language of the playbook. And that's usually something you say for someone who's completely lost. That's something you say to like, hey, we're just trying to hedge our bets here. That's a damage control article if I've ever seen one. So they're not high on Haskins. The reason why I'm potentially maybe worried is their front seven. Like they legitimately have a really good defensive line, and you throw Chase Young in there, and it's kind of worrisome. Luckily, we have a really good offensive line, but I think that's the unit that could kind of be pretty strong for them this season. So that's kind of my concern. Let's move over to the Giants. We'll save Dallas for last. Justin, what's your take on the Giants? Why are they going to suck in 2020, and what kind of scenario would you possibly worry about from them?
I mean, they have Saquon. So that's why I might be scared. Why they suck? I mean, their quarterback is Danny Dimes. I know Giants fans like him, but I don't see it. And then, like, Judge doesn't – I don't know. He does nothing for me as a head coach. So I just don't see them doing anything much different than last year. Maybe a reason why to be scared, which I can't think of any really. Saquon, solid player, but I mean, we don't really have to worry about them with who we have up front on our D line. So there you go,
Rob. Giants, yeah. Why did they suck?
Yeah, well,
besides being the Giants.
Yeah, well, obviously being the Giants, you know, I think I agree with Justin. I think you know Judge, maybe he's a good coach, but he's got a lot to prove. I don't know much about him. Certainly, you know, wasn't a coaching hire that you're immediately like, wow, great hire. But, you know, maybe he lights the world on fire. I don't know. But, I agree. I think Daniel Jones coming into his second year, he could have that slump. And, you know, I think there's a lot of question marks around him. I know they drafted an O-lineman, but the O-line still is not great, which isn't a good recipe with a second-year quarterback. With that said, I think as Justin said, they do have Saquon. So you got to respect that anytime he touches the ball, he could take it to the house for a touchdown. So, you know, that's the one aspect they have that's good. But I also think beyond Saquon, they don't have any tremendous playmakers. You know, they have Golden Tate, who's solid. But I think the offense has to run through Saquon, which if you're a good defense, you can scheme around.
Yeah, for me, why they suck, it's pretty easy. I mean, you guys had a lot of good reasons. One we probably haven't talked about specifically is their defensive backfield. Just a ton of holes. And then adding to that hole is DeAndre Baker getting arrested for robbing guys down in Florida. There was some allegations that he lost like $80,000, possibly gambling on Madden, which I'm not against, obviously, you know, hosting the Madden Mayhem gambling sims. But, yeah, I think the defensive backfield, we can really eat them up. And more importantly, we've just owned them. I mean, from the Eli era until now, we've just dominated this team. It's been a long time since they've kind of had any sort of run against us. I don't even know if it even qualifies for a rivalry right now, because a rivalry, it's two equal opponents. Why we may be scared is, again, maybe they're – I don't know. I'm really stretching here, but maybe Daniel Jones has that breakout year in the second year we've seen with some quarterbacks. So maybe he kind of comes, lights the world on fire. Certainly no expectations, quarterback in the second year. That could be a formula for success, but I don't see it. And now the final, the dreaded Dallas Cowboys. Justin, why do the Cowboys suck? I know there's a million reasons, but what's your biggest suck reason for the Cowboys in 2020? And what are you maybe worried about?
Reason Cowboys should suck. I mean, their best wide receiver, Cooper, at the moment, never shows up for big games.
Great point.
Probably the biggest reason, I would say. Another reason is not that good of a reason, honestly, but that Prescott is due for a year of regression. Zeke is due for a year of regression as well. I hate to rely on that as a reason, but, I mean, it just seems like their numbers can't keep getting better. They are a talented team. That's a reason to be scared. I mean, they have a ton of talent on there. You can't deny that. They got Lamb now too, who's a nice splash player for him. And with us on our secondary, could hurt us possibly. We'll see. I'm unsure about our defense against them, so that's one reason I'd be scared. And then I'm also scared their D-line coach, Tomasula, solid. I've always respected him. So their D-line might be a problem for us up front when we go against them. So that's another reason why I might be scared. At the same time, I think overall, if you put our teams together, we can beat them. So.
Robbie, how say you? Why does Dallas suck?
Yeah, you know, just to jump back to the Giants really quick, one point that I forgot in terms of, you know, reason they suck is they now have Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator.
And Freddie Kitchens.
I mean, as an Eagles fan, Jason Garrett just seems like the gift that keeps on giving in terms of what he would do with the team. So, you know, getting back to Dallas, I think, you know, I think their defense still has a lot of question marks. And, you know, McCarthy, you know, he may be better than Garrett. I think it remains to be seen, but it also seemed like he kind of ran out his tenure in Green Bay there. So we'll see how the fit ends up being. I know they've kept the O coordinator, who it sounds like didn't gel with Garrett too well. So I think defense, they still have a lot of questions. You know, reason they're good, they got playmakers on offense. They got a good offensive line like us, although they are getting a little older. And, you know, now with, you know, Zeke, Cooper and Lamb, you know, that's tough. That's going to be tough to defend, especially for our secondary. So, you know, they definitely have some danger on offense that we're going to have to worry about. I still like, you know, Jim Schwartz's ability to scheme against them, but they're going to be tough and they're going to put up some points.
I thought you didn't like Schwartz, Rob.
Yeah, Schwartz.
Rob's hot and cold with Schwartz.
Yeah,
I am very hot and cold on Schwartz, but I think he's an extremely smart guy. I just think he can be stubborn at times and almost wants to stick to his game plan, even though sometimes the circumstance may warrant switching. But I will say he's done a lot with a little bit of a talent, and you know, probably, you know, gets more flack than he deserves. So I still like him matching up against McCarthy from an offensive and defensive perspective.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, why the Cowboys suck, two words, Fat Zeke. This, I mean, you saw the photo of him at Dak's birthday party where they broke quarantine. That guy's clearly packing on the LBs. And if there's anyone who needs like an offseason to keep in shape, it's definitely Zeke. I think he could eat himself out of a decent year. Really, though, to me, it's about their defense. Like they're coming in with the mindset of just outscoring people. And, you know, they lost Byron Jones. They haven't really done much to address some of the other guys they lost on the defensive line. So I think there's going to be opportunities to put up points against the Cowboys. They're relying on just outscoring people. So if you can just slow them down a little bit, there's definitely some opportunities to win. As far as, like, what scares me or what you're possibly concerned about with the Cowboys, I think it goes back to that Jason Garrett thing. Like, maybe – Jason Garrett really was that bad, and just bringing in Mike McCarthy, who's even a little bit better than Jason Garrett, gives them that little bump forward. So I think not having Jason Garrett is a huge advantage for the Cowboys, and maybe that's the only reason to potentially be scared of them. All right, we're going to close things out with some gambling picks here at the end. But before we do, shout out to Cushy Dreams CBD. That's right. Cushy Dreams, all new smokable CBD. They specialize in extraordinary CBD-rich hemp flower, aka bud, pre-rolled CBD joints. So I know a lot of people have the gummies or the vapes or whatever. If you want to have that weed experience without without actually the weed high, CBD, and especially smokable CBD. I've tried their creative pre-rolls. I really enjoy those. It looks like weed, kind of smells like weed, tastes like it, but you don't get that high from weed. It's just the CBD, you know, the positive effects from CBD, pain relief. I know Kramer likes it, helping out his back. And yeah, you know, the CBD effect is nice, doesn't get you too whacked out. And again, legal in 50 states. And if you use the promo code SGP, you get 15% off. KUSHYDreams.com. Promo code SGP. Smoke your CBD because it can. CushyDreams.com. All right. We'll talk. Why don't we'll just break down the week one line. Eagles right now, 6-point favorites in Philly. I always pick the Eagles. Every once in a while, I won't pick against them. I'll pick against them to punish them for some sort of horrible season that they're having or whatever. -6 on the road, a 6-point road favorite. I'll take the Eagles laying the 6, but again, I'm a little scared that the Redskins defense could be tough, but I think what'll happen is kind of similar to how we saw week one of this season start out, where it's a close game in the first half. Maybe even the Redskins get out to an early lead, but eventually the kind of explosive offense gets going in the second half and they end up covering that -6. Justin, are you? What's your thought? Eagles at Skins, opening day. Will there be fans there? We don't know. It's weird. If you look at these lines, it does seem like they're still factoring in that home field advantage, which leads me to believe to think that there's going to be value in road teams, especially like if you take the Eagles -6 right now and then they officially announce that no fans are going to be there. I think that line gets over 7. But Justin, right now, Eagles week one -6. Are you throwing it in a parlay? How excited are you to bet this?
I mean, I would bet it. I have no qualms about taking Philly here, -6. Only hesitation might be the fact that we don't know what the preseason is going to offer, how ready teams are going to be. At the same time, you know, with the COVID crisis. But at the same time, if anything, that favors us in the end because, you know, we're coming with, I know we have a few new coaching staff members, but pretty set team who's, you know, looked at that playbook regularly. Redskins are at a disadvantage there. They got all new plays, all new system, all that stuff. So, I mean, you got to kind of take us all day here with fans, without fans. And just looking at teams on paper and what we have to offer compared to them. I mean, Wentz versus Haskins.
Well, and that's a good point. The COVID thing could actually – one of the few bright spots of COVID-19 crisis in America is that every other NFC East team has a new coach coming in. We're the only ones returning the same coach. So whatever you're doing in the offseason, whatever you're trying to install, whatever culture Joe Judge is trying to bring to the Giants, him, the super group of him, Freddie Kitchens, and Jason Garrett, whatever they're trying to install, it's got to be tougher with just the limited time. Rob, Eagles on the road, -6 in Washington. Are you actually betting this one?
Lock it in. I like it. I think the team comes out blazing this year. I think they got a lot to prove. I think they get a little more fresh offensively, as I was talking about before, with some new coaching and new looks. You know, I hope Carson at some point this summer is getting those receivers together. You know, he was building a good rapport with D-Jax before he got injured. I hope he does the same with Rager and all the other guys. So training camp or no training camp, I hope he's working with these guys and getting to know them. So I like it. I think it's a good bet.
Yeah, and they've it was weird. They kind of – Washington had their number for a little while, and then you saw that turn in the 2017 season. Justin was actually there in Vegas when we watched the miraculous game that had me on the way to winning $200,000 at DraftKings. And that 2017 game, it was in – yeah. I mean, there is a nice trend where every year the Eagles – start out week one in Washington, they do win the Super Bowl. So hopefully that trend continues. The Eagles right now to win the Super Bowl plus 2,200. Again, this is a complete homer play, but I like it. I like it. However, I'm not going to bet it because when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I didn't bet them to win the Super Bowl at plus 2,200. But I think there is kind of a lot of shades of the 2017 season where – they're coming in, they have a good team, they have a good roster. They're just kind of flying below the radar a little bit. Justin, what do you think of the Super Bowl price, Eagles plus 2,200?
I like it. I was just actually pulling mine up right now because I placed a little bit of a wager on them earlier when the Lions first came out. I think I got it at 2,000 or plus 2,000. So yeah, I think it's a good wager. I think it's solid. You have to you never want to assume anything, but you should believe that we will make the playoffs, right? And I would think that it's going to be close to win the division, possibly, worst case scenario. So, I mean, if that's the case and you're looking at all these other teams that should make the playoffs, I mean, plus 22 is pretty solid. I mean, Packers are plus 22, and I would actually think that they have a lower chance of us making it. So there you go. That's my rationale, at least.
Yeah, it does feel like we're going to be in the mix in the division, and also the opportunity of the seventh playoff a team, and then Doug Peterson, a guy who just ends up winning big games. Rob, right now, mybookie.ag, plus 2,200 for the Eagles Super Bowl. Are you in? Are you out? What are your thoughts on that as a bet?
Yeah, I like it. I have to believe that we'll be in the mix at the end of the year, you know, in the playoffs if Carson can stay healthy. So I like it. I'm with you, Sean. I don't know, how I feel about it in terms of my personal juju, ensuring the team's success. But I think it's a good bet in terms of the odds for the Eagles this year.
I will interject and just say that I did bet on them the year that we won the Super Bowl.
Really? So, and what did you get that? What did you get the price at there, Justin?
I think it started out at plus 45, but if I remember correctly, I made a couple wagers throughout the season. So in the end, I won a couple grand. I was putting nickels and dimes on it throughout the season. I just put another wager in right now, actually, if you guys want to see, for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Love it. Loading up over there at mybookie.ag. All right, we'll close things out. There's some long shot Eagles season-long prop bets. We can go around, each pick our favorite. For me, I'm going to do, and I just mentioned Doug Peterson, kind of just gets this team to win. It's kind of cliche, but he really is a player's coach, but it seems to have their voice. And in 3 years in a row in the playoffs, the Super Bowl, he's better than Sean McVay, even though some coaching lists have him behind Sean McVay, which drives me crazy. He's undefeated against Sean McVay, and he's won a Super Bowl, and Sean McVay hasn't won a Super Bowl. There's no way you can list him above Sean or below Sean McVay. Doug Peterson, Coach of the Year, plus 2,500. I think if they win 11 games, and I think he's right there in the mix. And at 25-1, like, I don't think Doug Peterson gets the credit he deserves. If they have a really good season, you know, regular season, 11-5, 12-4 maybe, I could see him getting that Coach of the Year and kind of a makeup call because he hasn't – he's never won the award. So, yeah, I like that at plus 2,500. Justin, what sort of a longer shot at Eagles prop bets do you like here for the season?
So, for Doug, I said don't touch it. I mean, I just think he's kind of in a no-win situation because those head coaches with good quarterbacks and decent offenses never seem to get the credit they deserve, especially when the team – if the Eagles had really shit the bed last season, I think he would have potential to win it. But as kind of where they were at last year, I just don't see him getting enough credit if they – even if they win at all. So I think that would be a tough one. The best bet I think out of as far as Eagles bets go would be Reagor, offensive player of the year, or sorry, rookie of the year, my bad, at plus 3,000. I think that's by far the best one. I think it's just a decent bet overall for the amount of money you could get with your wager. He could be a great splash player for us on offense. I think also with him being a potential returner.
Special teams touchdown in there.
He could make a couple solid, punt returns in there for TDs. Those go kind of into the mix with the way people start to look at him. He could turn heads, especially because he has such low potential right now for people outside of Eagles fans, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you look at kind of like what DeSean Jackson did his rookie year. If he can come in and have a similar year like that, maybe he shocks the world. Certainly the favorites are always kind of the quarterbacks. But, yeah, at 30-1, kind of could be fun to throw a flyer on that. Robbie, what of these kind of like long shot prop bets for the Eagles? Any of these talking to you?
Yeah, we're all a little different on this one. I'm with Justin. I think Doug Peterson is offense as Coach of the Year is tough. I just don't think he'll get the recognition that he deserves, and they'll give it to someone else. I think Rager's tough too. I'm not with Justin on that. I think it'll go to a QB like Joe Burrow if he has even a decent year, just given all the hype around him. Carson Wentz passing leader is possible, but I think that's a tough one too. Miles Sanders, rushing leader. I just think we're never going to lead the league in rushing. He's going to have a lot of all-purpose yards, but I think it'll be tough for him to be the straight-out rushing leader. So I actually think the best bet and the one I like is DeSean. He obviously was out all year last year, had a good first game there against the Redskins with the two touchdowns. And he's a known guy. So I think if he can come back and have an explosive year, he could be an easy pick for comeback player of the year. So that's the one I'm going with.
Yeah, I like that. That's fun. And certainly the narrative is there. He's coming off the injury. He balls out. And, they just take it to the house. All right, guys, that'll do it for the debut episode of the Die Hard Eagles podcast. Justin, Rob, thanks for doing this, and sure we'll be doing some more, breaking down the Eagles season, you know, win-loss record against the spread, talking more when camp heats up. Thank you guys for checking this out. Make sure you subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and Sports Gambling Podcast feed. And for the Die Hard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green. Go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!